Good morning. How's everybody doing? Come on, stand up. Let's worship. All because of Jesus, right? Who wants to see me jump in?
I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory, yeah. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word, king over all the universe, to you be the glory, and I'm alive. I'm alive in you.
Is that right?
And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and raised this dead man's life. And it's all author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your word. King over all the universe, to you be the glory. Yeah. And I'm alive because I'm alive in you. All because the blood of Jesus Christ.
sings your praise. The universe cries out your praise. I'm singing freedom all my days. Now that I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I am alive.
Lift it up.
Oh, it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. Then it's all because of Jesus. Then it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Then it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life.
Worshiping together today. We've got an exciting morning. You may grab a seat. For those of you that are guests here, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and just super excited you've chosen to worship with us today. We have got an exciting service this morning. Later on, many baptisms, thus the tank open, which all of us, I was watching Adam. I'm thinking he was going to go into this little mini jump and mosh that he usually does and land straight in the water. He might die because of the guitar, and I promise I wouldn't laugh, but there would be something funny about you jumping in. Anyway, sorry. What is going on this morning? It's dangerous up here, folks, so I am glad that you guys are here to worship with us today, especially if you're a guest. Would love to encourage you to take just a moment and fill out the connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you. It's a great first step to getting connected here at Westgate, and you can get any kind of information that you're looking for about our various ministries and how to get plugged in. Would love for you, if you're a guest, if you fill that out, to actually hold on to it, and at the end of the service, take it out to our guest center, which is in the main entrance. You can turn it in there. We got a gift we would love to give you to say thank you for being here, but also, our hosts there can answer any questions you might have about how to get connected or just information about who we are as a church. And so please be sure to stop by and do that. And then if you're a regular attender, again, we always encourage you to fill that connection card out. If you've got any prayer requests or messages that you would like to get to us, you can write that there and drop it in the offering baskets as you are leaving at the end of the service. Now, again, we have a lot of exciting things going on today, but one of those things besides baptism is we're going to be sending as a church one of our very own out into the mission field this summer, and I want to introduce him to you now. Would you welcome Josh Cook and also Sherry Cortez as they come to join us here this morning? Yes, stay towards the front third of this section. Josh, for those of you who don't know, Josh has grown up here 22 years birth here at Westgate Chapel, and Josh has been super involved in our children's ministry when he was young, ministries, super involved with going on mission trips here at the church, and God has placed a call in his heart for missions, and he's been involved not only in our missions program at the church, but also he is very active with our international community here in Toledo and reaching out to people. And Josh, would you maybe share with everybody just a little bit of, like, when did God begin developing that heart and passion in you for missions?
Yeah, I'd like to say that God was probably always cultivating it in my heart, even when I didn't know it growing up at Westgate as such a missions-minded church. But when I started really feeling and responding to his call was my freshman year of high school, which was about 8 years ago now. And from that, he continued to affirm that call through the missions week that year, which ironically had Steve and Christy, who I'm working with this summer, there that week. And he's, You know, he's brought me across America and around the world, continuously affirming that call on my life. And this next trip I'm taking is just another act in that.
That is awesome. And Josh, as you are going out on this, would you share with us maybe just a little bit about the trip you're going to be going on this summer? Tell us, what are the things that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, so I'll be in Kyiv, Ukraine for 6 months from June. A month from tomorrow I leave, through the end of November and early December I'll come back. And I'll be involved in many things, but I'll shorten it to three things. I'll be getting mentored by Steve and Christy, who, if they're watching live stream now, hi, happy Easter. It is Easter in Ukraine today, so I had a very special day. Christy has her PhD in counseling, which is what I'm doing in school, and I hope to do one day on the missions field. So she'll be mentoring me on that topic, and then Steve will be doing some leadership development things, as he's done that for many years on the missions field. The second thing is I'll be involved with the two church plants, the mother and sister church in Kyiv. So with that, I'll be working with the youth group, with internally displaced peoples, which are refugees from the east, and as well as I'll be part of pastors' conferences where we're going to be gathering from 28 different churches in Ukraine that are interested in starting a new denomination that'll fall under the Alliance World Fellowship, which means it won't be a national church, Alliance church in Ukraine, but the Alliance will recognize it, and they'll recognize the Alliance as their denomination partially.
That's exciting. And Josh, you have been involved over the years in so many different trips. We've sent you most recently out to Iraq, and you served there on a short-term trip. And this one's a little more, I call, long-term, short-term, going for 6 months. It's exciting to see you continue to pursue the call that God has placed on your life to go and share the gospel around the world. And it's exciting for us as a church to support that and to help develop it. And then eventually, one day, we're going to send you out.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
Part of what Josh has to do, though, to go for 6 months is he's going to be needing to raise about $7,000. As he mentioned, he's quit his job in order to trust and follow the Lord in this endeavor. And one of the ways that we are aiming to help him raise funds is through our rummage sale. And Sherry Cortez has helped with basically run our rummage sale for us as a church back in 2019 when we sent our Germany team. And Sherry, would you maybe tell us just a little bit about the rummage sale and even how the Germany team benefited from it the last time?
Well, back in 2019, when I was and Josh were named to the Germany team, I felt that we needed to raise money a different way. And there's lots of ways to raise money, but a way to involve the whole church and even the whole community by having a rummage sale. And you can donate to people who are going on trips, but when you can donate your things, and you can come and shop at the rummage sale or even volunteer, you're directly affecting the outcome of the rummage sale. And in 2019, it was our first one, and it was a lot of work, but I feel that it was a success. We raised $9,425.71.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for $20,000 this year.
Yes, 20,000. God is more than able. And man, we set God-sized visions and hit it. And one of the exciting things is that the funds that are going to be raised for this are going to go to help not only Josh, but also they're going to be used as we do partner trips to places like Ukraine as well, Mongolia, Germany, and we connect with our various partners around the world. And so these funds are going to be going towards our missions department. And Sherry, could you share with everybody just how they can get involved and be a part? What are the quick ways that they can do that?
Four ways. Pray. Please be praying between now and Memorial Day weekend. This is something that God has laid on my heart, and I believe the Holy Spirit's a part of, which means we are a target for the enemy. So please be praying. Second, please sign up to volunteer. We need lots of volunteers for this, not as many as we had before. Chris, could you put up that map, please? Some of you will remember Mount Westgate. That we had our donations over here, and we had to move them twice. So this year, we're going to, the tables will all be set up and labeled where things go. I'm asking you to separate your donations. If you're doing clothes, separate it by gender and size, and you'll take it right to that table. Books, you don't have to separate too much, but kids and, you know, a little bit. So by having you take your donations right to the table, that saves hours of volunteer time. The third way you can help is to donate. I think I missed that. We have our big donation day 3 weeks from today on the 23rd. When you come to church, bring your donations. We'll have volunteers to point you out, have a map about, and it'll be in the Family Life Center, how you can drop your donations off. And the fourth way you can help out is to shop. So come and shop. And I don't think I mentioned this before, but if you volunteer or if you drop donations off during the week, you get to shop early.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we are excited about this, and we are praying for an incredibly successful rummage sale, most importantly because we recognize that the resources are going to go to spread the gospel around the world. Would you thank Josh and Sherry for coming and sharing with us this morning? It is a blessing for us as a church to be a sending church, to be a church that is focused on developing our young people, our old people alike, and encouraging us to consider the ways in which God might be calling us to go and to share the gospel. I'm excited to see what God is doing in Josh's life and how he's going to continue that work. I hope that you will join us in that. We have an awesome opportunity to worship our Savior today. Let's pray together as we continue to worship him in song. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I just thank you for what you're doing in this church and in the lives of everyone that is here. As we surrender and yield our hearts to you, God, you are so faithful to take and to continue to develop us in our faith, to grow us, but even more importantly, God, to use us in the proclamation of the gospel in the lives of other people. We give you praise and thanks, and we ask, God, that in everything we do, that God, you would receive glory, and that, Father, you would expand your kingdom. Father, that more people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus because of the ministry of this church and the heart of devoting ourselves to the things that matter to your heart. We love you, Lord. Receive our worship today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, one thing we have been working on as a worship arts ministry is over about the past year, we have felt this, even before that, really, we felt this real big desire to begin writing songs together and writing songs for the church. And I mean, Psalm 96:1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Well, we wanted to write some, and our goal is always, every volunteer here, and I can't, there are 80 plus volunteers throughout our entire ministry that make this stuff work on Sunday mornings. But one thing that we wanted to do, and there are at least 30 people have been involved in this songwriting process over the last year. We wanted to write songs for you. We wanted to give the songs to the church, and you know, our goal has never been to be any of these other worship bands or these songs that we do, but our goal primarily has always been just to glorify God. And so as we embark on this journey, some of these are hymns that we know and love, and we've taken and making our own. Some of them are more traditional, and then some of them are just going to be full-on original songs. And but we are really excited to sing these with you. You know, the church sings their own songs the loudest. And so I really encourage you guys as you kind of learn this new song, join us. So will you stand as we worship together? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Our God is the beginning and the end. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. Sing that again.
Before you breathe creation, before you split the sea, before you brought down giants, your plan was laid for me. Before you walked on water, before you healed the blind, before you fed the masses, you were the bread of life. You are my great provider. You are my Prince of Peace. You are my wing of shelter, my strength when I am weak. You are my rock and fortress. You catch me when I fall. God, you are.
Flows through my veins from are kind. You're so kind to us. I just feel it. Lord, you and I have, I could sing all day long to you, Lord. I could speak all day long to you, Lord. And there are not enough words. I'm gonna keep trying till you take me, Father. And then when I stand before you, I have a feeling for the first time in my whole life, I'll be speechless. But I can't wait. I can't wait to see you. But God, we have work to do. We do. Father, I thank you so much that we live in freedom. This freedom we have, man, let us open our mouths and tell people about it. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are free from the consequences of our sin. We get to live, really live. It's good. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. You have a word for us today, Father. I can't wait to hear. Let us have open ears and open hearts to receive it, take it in, live differently because of it. Your word changes us every time we hear it. Let's be changed today. We pray all of this in your Son's perfect name.
Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. And again, I want to say, again, welcome to those of you that are viewing at home online. I want to encourage you as we move through the service today, you can find underneath the live stream, your sermon notes are there. You can download those and follow along with us. And I'm just super excited. They tell me I've got about 20 minutes so we can get these baptisms in. Rapid fire parable this morning. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Super excited to dive into this one together. If you have your sermon notes, pull them out, follow along. I'm excited. You know, as you're turning there, one of the things that you may or may not know about me is that I am a reality TV junkie. I love reality. Anybody else here fall into that category, like loving some reality TV? One of my favorite shows of all time, Survivor. Any Survivor fans in here? A couple of you? A few? Okay, yeah. I love the intrigue, the competition. I know there's like five of you that have a kindred heart. But one of the other ones, one of my other second favorite shows, not on the air anymore, was a show back in the day called Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Anybody ever watch that show? I loved that show. There was something incredibly great about it. You remember that the show was hosted by a guy by the name of Ty Pennington. And Ty Pennington and this whole crew of designers would get together and they would basically go in, find families in need who had these kind of dilapidated houses, and they would pretty much drop them to the ground and rebuild them with these really incredible and beautiful houses. And I just loved watching the design and everything that went into it. One of the things that probably intrigued me a lot too is back at this time when the show was on the air, I was a youth pastor in California, and one of my students, former students, actually was working for the show. And so she was going to all the different locations. Now, she didn't have one of the glamorous jobs. She was the person that was basically there to take care of the neighbors when things were flying and breaking their own houses. So she got to work with all the angry people. So she didn't necessarily love her job as much, but she also would open up the door. I mean, I lived vicariously through her about how this show works. She would open up the door to see. She's like, yeah, you know, Ty Pennington, all those designers, they don't do a thing except show up to be a pretty face for the camera. When they pick up that hammer, it's just for the show. And I was like, are you serious? What the heck? But I loved watching this show. And the reason I loved watching it is because of the whole notion of taking and just impacting and changing people's lives by seeing their old homes taken and broken down completely, that were broken and in disrepair, and building up something incredibly beautiful. As we move into our message today, as we continue in our series walking through the parables, I see a parallel here in that Jesus, in his teaching with the parables in Scripture, is teaching, when he uses these stories, he is telling us about who God is, about his kingdom, and what it means to walk with Jesus. And all of Jesus' teaching in his earthly ministry was really truly about coming to broken people and even a broken system of religion during that day, and coming and building it back up in faith in God. And we'll see that as we dive into the scriptures together this morning. The parable that we're going to take a look at is at the end of Matthew chapter 7. It is a parable that is familiar, and it's actually pretty short, but within it, it has some fairly good context. context and information for us to understand and to own for our own life. Jesus drives the point home with this parable for us. And so, as we begin, if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be at the very end of the chapter together. But before we read it, I want to give you just a little bit of context. You can follow along with me in your notes. The first point is this: the parable of the wise and foolish builder that we're going to look at today comes at the very end of what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you can picture Jesus on a hillside out by the Sea of Galilee with this massive crowd gathered around, Jesus is delivering what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. The first bullet point there is this, is that it was basically Jesus' first major discourse or sermon, if you will, to the general public who had been reared in what we would call a defective Judaism. Now, Jesus, as he begins his earthly ministry, is giving the sermon, and it covers in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is teaching about all sorts of things, but truly, one of the things we need to understand is that he is speaking towards what has become a defective Judaism or a defective religious practice in that day. We've talked about over the last many weeks how the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day had taken and distorted what it meant to walk with God. Rather than moving the people to develop a heart for God and to allow God to change and transform their heart, they taught a legalistic following of a set of rules, and only you were only good to God if you were good at following the rules, of which they believed they were the best. We remember that Jesus in Matthew also delivers woes against the Pharisee, basically telling them that you are not only yourselves not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but you yourself shut the door, slam it in people's faces, and you're holding the people from even knowing God by what you're teaching. And so what Jesus does in his first sermon is this, second bullet point, he teaches the values of the kingdom of God. And we see numerous different things that he covers. Jesus covers everything from things like marriage and divorce to sex to relationships to anger to hypocrisy to money to anxiety. And what he does is he covers these topics talking about how we live in this life in a way that is honoring to God. But ultimately what he was doing, bullet number three, is that he was exposing the errors of Pharisaism. In other words, he wasn't just teaching about living by a legalistic set of rules, but he was teaching and getting to the very point of giving your heart to God and understanding that God is the one that transforms lives and saves lives. Now, as we get to the end of the sermon that Jesus has been preaching in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, what we see is that Jesus has covered a lot of ground in the sermon, but he finishes with a warning. And when we think about warnings, oftentimes we think, especially when it comes from a biblical point of view, that if we hear a warning, we're like, oh, great, here comes a warning from Jesus. We're going to get hammered. Someone's going to start shouting at us, teaching hellfire and brimstone. And, you know, you either got to turn or burn. You know, I'm about to get preached at. Maybe you want to lighten up just a little bit on me, preacher. But when we think about warnings, oftentimes we forget that many warnings are good and they serve a good purpose. They keep us from trouble. They keep us away from harm. I liken it to when I took a group of students when I was a high school pastor in California. We used to do travel camps, take them up north. We would camp all along the coast all the way up to this one year. We went to a place called Yosemite, and beautiful scenic place, lots of mountains, flowing rivers, beautiful place to go. But one of the warnings that was there whenever you pulled in was all of these signs warning you that there were bears in the area and you needed to be very careful. Now, I've had numerous experiences with bears from doing these types of camping trips. Like, you know, when we pulled in one night, we literally got into our tent, set up camp, and I heard the youth pastor yell out in the middle of the night, there's a bear going around the tents. Nobody move. I literally froze like I was dead, right? Fearful. But then, as you're looking around and you're moving around throughout the day, you'll see these signs and they'll say, warning, that there are bears. And they'll say things like, don't run from the bears, do not feed the bears, and do not approach the bears. It makes common sense. But I decided to approach them anyway. So the way it works is that I was sitting with a group of students, about, what did we take, about 35 students on this trip. We're all sitting in our group campground eating. There's a family across the way eating at their little cute picnic table, and this bear comes running out of nowhere, broad daylight, jumps on the table, grabs this huge bag of Doritos, and runs with it. I mean, literally, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen. This family's like looking like this up at this bear, takes off and runs with it. And Bob, who is one of the adult leaders on this trip, I was an intern at the time, he goes, hey, Rob, he was a photographer. He goes, let's go get some pictures of the bear. And I'm like, yeah. That sounds like a great idea, right? So he grabs his camera. I grab my camera. And then all of a sudden, all the students are like, we want to come too. And I'm like, no, this is for men, right? And so they're all handing me their disposable cameras. Back in the day, that's what we used. And so we go. And I'm like littered, hanging with like cameras off of me. And I climb up on this massive rock with Bob, start taking pictures of a bear that is maybe that front pew, maybe second pew away from us. We're up on this high point, up on a rock, watching the bear eat the Doritos. And the bear is taking these Doritos and not clawed it open like you would think, literally open it up like you would see in a commercial, is eating out of the bag Doritos. I mean, seriously, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's like Yogi Bear. I'm telling you, it was nutty. But he's sitting there eating, so we're snapping away pictures. I'm looking through the viewfinder at this bear, getting ready to snap a picture, and I notice that he stopped eating and he stopped moving. And Bob says, don't move. And all of a sudden, what does the bear do? Gah! It jumps and it lunges straight towards us and it growls, this growl that literally I still hear in my sleep, and terrified me. Like I thought I was dead in that moment. But the bear was just trying to scare us. It kind of lunged, it didn't charge, and then it turned and it went back to its Doritos. It's like, seriously, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you could, but it's true. He's sitting there eating his Doritos. And so Bob looks at me, he's like, stand and get really tall. So we stand and we get really tall. Like, that's going to help. And we start to slowly back away and we left, right? Warnings are a good thing, my friends. Warnings are there for a reason and a purpose, to keep us far from trouble and away from harm. And Jesus, as he issues this warning at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as he has been teaching through and talking about what it means to be a follower of God, what it means to be a part of the kingdom, what it means to follow Jesus, he issues a warning after he has given all of these incredible things that we are to do. And in the process, he changes and speaks to the very issue of the issue that they were facing religiously in that day, which is this. The warning is, the Christian life isn't about what you know. The Christian life isn't about what you know. The Pharisees were good at knowing a lot of things. The Pharisees were good at practicing a lot of things that they knew. Jesus goes through and in his sermon gives a lot of things that you need to know. But Jesus' concluding point is not that the Christian life is about what you know. Next point, it is about what you do with what you know. And that is the most important thing. And I want you to see this as we dive into this parable together. If you have your Bibles, look with me at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Here's what it says. Jesus speaks and says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, pause. If you've been with us the last couple weeks, especially the first week of this series, and we're doing the parable of the sower, you're going to recognize some familiar words that Jesus speaks in his teaching constantly. What does he say? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. As we think about this parable that Jesus is teaching, some of you may, if you grew up in the church and you're as old as me, or maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, you might remember, I don't know what it is about scripture, but it seems like all of the Bible verses from my childhood were put into songs, right? We talked about Zacchaeus' song, this song. Do you guys remember the song that went with this? The wise man built his house upon a rock, right? And the rains came tumbling down, right? This parable is a story that Jesus tells about two men, two builders. And they were very few, there were some similarities between these two builders and also some differences. And this morning, I want us to take a look at those and understand it as Jesus tells this story. As you follow along in your notes, we're going to begin with the similarities between these two builders. Number one, the thing we see is that they both share a goal. They share a similar goal. And what we see in the passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and also 26 is that they both want to build a house. Now, when Rochelle and I moved to Toledo, we rented a house for about a year and a half. And then as we were looking at the market, thinking about buying, we couldn't find anything we wanted. And then we had a friend tell us, oh, you should go build. There's some places where you can get a lot of land. And so we went and we walked into a builder and they looked at us and said, hey, we're giving away free lots. I said, yes, indeed, let's build that house, right? And I remember the excitement of going through and designing the house that we were going to build and live in here in Toledo. And it was exciting. It was kind of riveting as we had dreams of what this house would look like. And we thought about what we would put in it and that we would raise our family there. And we thought about the types of things that we wanted. We were thinking about our needs and also picking out all the different amenities that would be there. When we think about this parable that Jesus is telling of these builders, these two people who want to build a home, we need to remember that what he's talking about is two people, each builder representing someone who is not just building a house, but truly building their lives. And their lives, no doubt, had dreams like each of us. As we think about building our lives in this life and in this world, there are dreams that we have, ideas of how we might want to build them, different values, different priorities, desiring security, desiring for our needs to be met, looking to have some kind of good life. We see that these builders share this similar goal, a goal of building a life. And number two, we also see that in the same time as they have this goal, another similarity is that they both hear the same words from Jesus. In verses 24 and 26, the same thing is said of both builders. Everyone who hears these words of mine is like. Both of them, hearing the words of Jesus, as they dream their dreams and consider what their lives might possibly look like, they both hear the words of Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, it draws us back to the parable of the sower from week number one, where it talks about that every single person in this world and in this life hears the word of God. It's like seed that is spread from a sower that is thrown out. Some of it lands on a hard surface. Some of it lands on rocky soil. Some of it lands in the thorns. Some of it lands on good soil. And though everyone hears the word, the truth is that we all respond differently to it. Well, as we read in the story, the similarities, both of them share a goal, but both of them hear the words of God, and they will respond. Number three, another similarity that we see is that they both face the same storm. And in Matthew 7, verse 25 and verse 27, the very same exact words are to describe the storm that they each face. It says, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house. And it sounds like both of these guys are essentially living in the same neighborhood. Same storm comes through. It's not like different storms where one is lesser and one is greater. It's like in California, when we talk about a tornado, we're like, oh man, there was a tornado, right? I experienced a tornado when I was living out in California right before I went to work. One passed through an intersection before I drove through. I remember looking up at the sky, and there was a tool shed up in the power line. So I'm like, how is a tool shed get up there? And there's a few shingles on the ground. I didn't think anything of it until somebody told me, oh no, there was this like huge tornado that went through, and it was massive, and it was like the size of a bus, and it did this damage. Then I moved to Ohio, and oh my goodness, people, you guys have huge tornadoes. When we talk about storms and tornadoes in California, they can't shake a stick at what you have here. We were here a year, and we saw the lake tornado that went and tore a school apart, did all the cleanup for that. Those are two very different things. In this passage, what he's talking about is these people are experiencing the same exact storm, the same exact difficulties that come to their lives and that beat upon their lives. And this is where the similarities end. And I want us to take a look now at the differences that Jesus points out. Jesus points out, number one, that they both display a different character. There's a different character. He describes it as a wise builder and a foolish builder. Now, when we think of wisdom, oftentimes we'll think about things like IQ. But Jesus, when he talks about wise, isn't talking about IQ. He's not talking about what you scored on the ACT. He's not talking about what prestigious school you went to or what great job you got. He's not even talking about knowledge. When Jesus talks about wisdom, he's talking about something very different. And as we talked last week about the parable of the lost son, we saw that the religious leaders had this self-righteous attitude. They believed that they were so great because of how much they knew and how much they took what they knew and put it into practice. And Jesus begins to go in that parable on the offensive, and he's doing so even in the Sermon on the Mount, on the offensive against people who pride themselves in their knowledge and yet whose hearts are far from him. You see, the wise all throughout the Bible are described as this: people who hear God's word and do it. But the foolish are described as people who hear God's word and do not do it. And we see in this passage that there are two characters that are on display. The character of one who is wise, who hears the words of God and follows them, and another who hears them, who maybe even knows them. I might even venture to guess that might believe them, but does not do what they say. Number two, because of the different character, we also see that both build a different foundation. It says that the wise man builds his house upon a rock, and a foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And I think of one of the great architectural wonders of the world, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And many of you may have been there and seen it. It's that nice big leaning tower that we see in pictures and photos that people love to put on Facebook, where they're holding it up with one finger, right, because it's leaning. Maybe some of you have done that. This tower was meant to be this incredible masterpiece that was built, but when they built it and built the foundation for the tower and they begin to build it up, what they didn't take into account was that the ground was a marshy land. And literally, as they tried, the further it went up, the more the tower began to lean. And so they had to go in and do all different types of architectural things, even to try to build it in the other direction to keep it from completely falling over. And it gives us this great picture of the importance of building our lives upon a foundation that is firm and that is strong. And Jesus uses this illustration for this purpose, talking about building our lives on a foundation, either the foundation of God and his word, which brings stability to our lives and gives us a sure footing, or the foundation of this world and itself, and maybe even our self-sufficiency being that which is uneasy ground to build upon. We see that each builder builds on a different foundation, one that is firm on the rock and one that is on the sand. And because of this, number three, both encounter a vastly different result. In verse 25, it says, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house of the wise man, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock of God and his word." Verse 27, when speaking of the foolish builder, it says, "The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I want you to catch the point and the conclusion of this very short parable that Jesus is telling. The conclusion is this: number one, some people will do nothing with my words. This is a choice for life that leads to destruction. It leads to destruction in the present. And when we think of the destructiveness of sin, sin has all sorts of ramifications for our lives when we choose to follow our own way and choose to abandon the life that God has called us to. And I venture to guess that every single person in this room has experienced that in their own life. That the time when we choose to follow our own path or to follow our own way or the way of the world, that we understand the destructiveness of sin. But not only is sin destructive in this life now, but we also see in this passage that it is destructive for all of eternity. And this is where the warning really sits in this passage. And I want you to catch this morning. You see, Jesus gives us this warning in full living color right before we jump into the parable. If you have your Bibles, look at chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Concluding his sermon, Jesus says, after he has given all of these different ways of what it means to walk with God and to walk with Jesus and to be a part of his kingdom, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. on that day, many people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And then he moves into the parable to take what he has just said and make it abundantly clear with a word picture. It's interesting to me. Those are some of the most fearful words, I think, in the scripture for anyone who walks with God. That one day there will be people that stand before the Lord believing that, hey, you know, I signed up for this gig. I prayed the prayer. And there will be people that one day stand before God and he looks at them and says, away from me, I never knew you. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Remember what Jesus is speaking to in this parable. He's speaking to a religious culture that has been living by how they think they can save themselves by the things that they do. And he is trying to correct them and bring them back, that the ones who will be saved are not just people who know a lot, and maybe even who can take what they know and will themselves to put some of that into practice. What he is looking for and what God is looking for is people who will yield their hearts to God and trust God for their salvation and allow him to be the one that transforms their hearts and their lives. And that message preaches thousands of years later into our culture today, where many people believe that what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that we prayed some prayer when we were young and we go to church occasionally, but we're really living this life for ourselves. You see, the picture that Jesus paints is of a person who is building a life for themselves and a person that is building their life based on what God desires for their life. And my call and my challenge to you this morning, and I believe God's call and challenge to us in Scripture is so clear. We need to take a step back and do inventory in our own hearts and our own lives and ask the question, is my life being built upon the things that it can do for me? Or is it being built upon the foundation of God and his word? Am I submitting my heart and my life to him and allowing him to transform me? Because number two, he says, some people will take my words and allow their lives to be shaped, to be transformed, to be strengthened by them. And this is a choice that leads to stability and eternal life. Stability in this life today, but also in the life to come. Church family, this morning we're going to have the opportunity to experience 10 people who are going to come and get baptized as we close our service today. And each of these individuals today are taking this stand and standing up here to proclaim to you that they have made the decision to be like the wise builder. Not just someone who knows about God. Not just someone who knows a lot of great things about what the Bible says and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but somebody who desires to put these things into action in their lives and have an active and a living faith, a faith that saves. And as we get to hear their testimonies and witness their baptism this morning, my prayer for all of us is that we would consider the words of Scripture that we have taken a look at this morning. Jesus issues this warning after teaching all of these things, and the warning is abundantly clear. It's not to shake a finger in our face. It's not to scold us. It's not to put us in our place. But it is a guidepost to say that there is a danger if we do not understand what it truly means to build our lives on the foundation of God as opposed to the things of this world. Today, many people will make that public proclamation that they have chosen to build their life on the foundation of Jesus. My prayer for you is that you would make that decision as well. Let's pray. God, thank you again for the time in your word today. And I thank you for the many people that are going to come and profess their faith in you. And Lord, I pray that God, today would be just a beginning of all that you are doing in each of their lives. And it would be a very significant moment. But I pray as well, God, that the testimony of their life, that you would use it to speak into our hearts. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to go to a place today of self-reflection and of thinking about not just all of the things that you have taught us about what it means to follow God or to walk with you, Jesus, or to be a part of your kingdom, but that we would understand the warning that is so clear. This life is about so much more than just knowing. It's about doing. It's about surrendering our hearts. It's about surrendering things that feel good, that we think are good, but that are destructive, and yielding all that we are because what you promise us is so much better. And so, God, I pray as these testimonies are shared that you would even break our hearts today, that you would move us, Father, to a place of recognizing our need for you, and that we would yield all that we are to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you guys stand and join us as we sing one more song and we celebrate with these guys and the choice they're making?
I cast my mind on Calvary when Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. His body sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
See it?
Lift it up. baptized. And so I'm going to invite the first person out. This is John McKinney. And his father, Ed, is also going to join us. Welcome them as they come. Awesome. Come on down. He's a little bit nervous today. It's all good. I'll grab my hand. There you go. Now, this is John. Now, I'll tell you, one of the interesting things about John is I saw a little video on Facebook where John was sharing a little of his testimony, but he was practically preaching a sermon on Facebook. It was awesome, and you did such a great job. And John, I know that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and can you tell everybody here just a little bit, why do you want to be baptized today?
So I can see God and know Him.
So you can see God and know Him. That's awesome. Well, why don't you come on over here, John? Well, John, because you have put your faith, go ahead and face this way right here. There you go. Because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because you want to seek Him with all your life, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Next up, we have Tessa Heath, who is going to be joined also with her father here. You may have seen him wearing these trunks during that last song. It's the new wardrobe. Excellent. Well, Tessa, it is so exciting to have you here with us. And Tessa, would you tell everybody, when did you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
When I was 6 or 7 after bedtime.
Okay, so before. Not while you were asleep. All right, good. Good. And so with your parents, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And why do you want to be baptized today, Tessa?
Because I want to show everyone I accepted Jesus in my heart.
That's awesome. Well, Tessa, because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and because it's your desire to make this public proclamation here today of that decision, it's my privilege, along with your dad, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right. Up next, we have got two sisters. We have got Addie and Hallie Kalber. Come on in. All right. And would you share with us also, when did you place your faith in Jesus Christ?
When I was 5 years old.
Okay. When you were 5 years old. And why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to be baptized because I want to accept Jesus into my heart.
That's awesome. And you want to live your whole life for Him. Well, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and your desire to be baptized today, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here comes her sister. Come on in. Right. And why don't you tell everyone as well, when did you place your faith in Jesus Christ?
I was 5 years old when I believed in Jesus.
All right. You were 5 years old. And why do you want to be baptized today?
I want everyone to know that I believe in Jesus.
Awesome. That is great. Well, there's nothing better than making this decision to place your faith in Jesus, but also to publicly proclaim it. And because of your desire to do so, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Excellent. Next up, we have Ethan Villa, who is going to come, and also our student ministries pastor, Steve Fisher, who is going to be baptizing him.
You don't help me down? You don't help me down? Just the oh, man.
You go in.
All right, we have Ethan here. And so, Ethan, will you share with your church family a little reason why you're getting baptized today?
I feel like I really want to make that profession that I really believe in Jesus after I've felt a lot more support at Westgate with growing in my faith, and I feel like now is really the time that I want to like show that outwardly to everyone else, that I really feel like that's something I want to do.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, well, your dad and I will baptize you with your profession of faith. So here, I'll get over here. We'll have to figure out how to do this. So we're going to baptize you in front of your church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paige Robertson is next. It's warm, right?
Yep.
All right. We've talked, and you're ready, and you want to share with your church why you're getting baptized, a little about your story.
Yeah, so I've been in a broken kind of stage of life recently, and I've seen God take that brokenness and turn it into something beautiful, and I really just wanted today to be like a profession of my faith, kind of like Ethan said, and a step of obedience towards the good plans that God has for my life.
Very good. And Paige is a senior. I'm just going to brag on her for a little bit, and she has an awesome story and testimony that she shared with our whole student ministry on Monday night, and now just cool that how that all lined up, and now that you're saying, hey, I'm taking the step of obedience to get baptized, so really proud of you. I'm right-handed. I need the strength. All right. Because of your profession of faith, obvious life of Jesus that I can see in your life, it gives me a lot of pride to be able to baptize you this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Derek is next. All right, Derek, we talked a little bit. Same thing as Paige and Ethan. Will you share with the church a little of your story and why you're getting baptized this morning?
Yeah, so I accepted God into my heart when I was 4 on Christmas, and I've always wanted to get baptized, and I was going to do it at 12, but I felt like I didn't understand God's word fully. So now that I've become more involved in the church and I understand God's word more, I feel it's just the right time.
All right, Derek, because of your profession of faith and as we talked and you sharing like, hey, I really do believe this, I understand what I'm doing. It's gonna be awesome to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, next is Josh Bowers. We're not quite sure if he's going to fit, but
we're going to bring you all the way here.
All right, Josh, question for you. Why are you getting baptized? Would you share with the church a little of your story?
So I accepted Christ when I was probably like 5 or so, and then I could have gotten baptized, but I didn't really, kind of like Derek said, I didn't fully understand it. I didn't want to get baptized just to get baptized. And so last year during quarantine, it really got me out of this routine that's kind of like taken up my whole life. It's just like this never-ending cycle, and I got to really see God through that, and I can finally like see exactly what his love has done for me. So that's why I want to get baptized today.
As we talked, it was awesome to hear you just talk about quarantine and how difficult it was for most of us, but then how God took that in your life and actually drew you closer to him and really deepened your walk in your faith. And so that was awesome to hear. And just as you share, all right, because of your profession of faith in front of all of these witnesses, it gives me great honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Next up, we have Josh's mom, Debbie Bowers. Would you welcome her as she comes? All right. There you go. Well, Debbie, would you just take a moment and share with everybody a little bit about your own faith and why you desire to be baptized today?
I was baptized as an infant and raised in a Christian home. But it wasn't until I started at Bible Study Fellowship that I came to realize that I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And so that is what brought it about for me. We've attended Westgate Chapel for a number of years. And I just never, for whatever reason, God's timing, I'm not sure, but I just never chose to be baptized. But then 2020 happened, and like a lot of you, there have been a lot of struggles. My mom went home to be with the Lord unexpectedly in February of 2020, and that just kind of started a cycle of events of different things that have made life difficult. It's probably been the hardest year of my life with many very dark days. I tried to fix things myself, and we all know that doesn't work. So finally, when I got to the end of myself, and I just cried out to God, he's kind of like, finally, I've been waiting for you to just give it to me. Situations haven't changed, but I have changed. And I know there have been days where God has carried me through because I couldn't have gotten through on my own. But he is so faithful and he is so good. He has answered prayers. He's always there for me. On days where I've told him that I need somebody with skin on, even though I'm in the Word and I'm praying and I'm listening to worship music, sometimes you just need a person. And every single time he's been faithful. He sent me somebody who sends me an email, a text, a phone call. Just, I don't know why you're on my heart, but you are, and so just thinking of you today. And I don't know, I've been closer to God now than I've ever been. My prayer life is more fervent and constant, and it's time to baptize.
That is so awesome. Well, Debbie, because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and your desire today is to be baptized, to make a public proclamation that you will follow him with your whole heart and your whole life, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right, our last one, I'm going to be joined here by Jay Mizulik, and come on in, Jay. Jay and I had a great conversation last Sunday after the service, and Jay, would you just take a moment to share with everybody kind of what God has been doing in your heart and the journey you've been walking with him?
All right, well, if I could start... So I always thought of myself as a tough guy, wrestled in high school, joined the service, black belt in jiu-jitsu. So you can see where all this is coming from. So in the first service, I held it together. So if I lose it in the second service, it's because of Rob and my family sitting in the front. Okay. Jesus said, blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted in my name. I would like to confess that I was the one in the service. I was the one that was doing the persecuting. When you think of yourself as a big tough guy, you don't treat people the way people deserve to be treated. And in the service in the 80s, it was different. You know, being a Christian and inviting people to Bible study took a lot of courage, and those people weren't treated very fairly. Anyways, so the reason I asked my wife to be out here because I was continuing down that path, and I was going to raise my children to be like I was. I tell my boys when they see their mom, give her a hug because she saved them, because I would have ruined them. Anyhow, on my 50th birthday, I was blessed to have my family with me, and I was in California, and I got to watch the sun go down on my 50th birthday, and it was kind of funny, because I started crying, and my whole family thought I was crying, because, you know, melancholy 50th birthday, but that's not what it was. What it was, that's when I told Jesus, I said, listen, I've done my first 50 years without you. I want to do my next 50 years with you, and but fast forward 3 years later, because a person like me, when you're selfish and you think of, basically I was a bully. When you're selfish and you're a bully, there's a lot of things that you need to be forgiven for, and I just thought I wasn't deserving, like I just didn't think that I was deserving to come stand in this pool. Like the kids say they want to be on Team Jesus. I didn't think that Jesus wanted me on his team. So I just felt like baptism wasn't for me. But if you guys were at the last service, Adam preached right before a song about how that's true, we're not deserving. You know, with Pastor Rob's sermon, I left the church. I got halfway through the parking lot, and my wife's like, oh, come on. So we turned right back in, and in the lobby, there was a guy who thought he was a big, tough guy. I fell apart as Pastor Rob got to witness. I'm sorry. So the reason I'm standing here today is I am ready to wash away the old me and welcome in the new me.
Praise God.
And Jay, the work that God is beginning in your life and in your heart, it is just starting. And because you have placed your faith in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and because of your professed desire to give him total control, recognizing that he accepts you just as you are, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is good. Amen. Church family, would you join me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for each of these individuals who have come today to profess their love for you and to profess to this room and to everybody here that their choice is to follow you with their whole lives. The Father, their desire is to build their life upon the sure foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so collectively together as your body today, we ask and we pray, God, that the work that has begun would continue, that you would continue to deepen them in their faith and in their trust in you, and that as they look back on this day, they would recognize it as one of the most significant moments in their life. Lord, we give you thanks, and we thank you, Father, as well for the work that you are doing in each of our hearts. And we pray, God, that their testimony would impact our lives, Lord, that we would also be those who will daily submit our hearts and our lives to you and build our life on the sure foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we give you all the worship and praise. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, church family, thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. If you have any sort of prayer needs that you would like prayed for, our prayer room is open today, and you can go outside these doors into the right. Our prayer team would love to pray with you. If you're at home and would like prayer, you can send an email to prayer@westgatechapel.org, and one of our prayer team members will also call you and would love to pray with you this afternoon. Church family, as you leave today, two things. One, just a reminder that as you give your tithes and offerings, you can do so in the buckets at the back of the room. Thank you for your faithful giving to Unfinished and to the work that God is doing through this church to reach people with the good news of the gospel. Last thing you'll see at the bottom of your sermon notes, that there are what we call baptism jars out in our atrium. And what we have out there is a bunch of jars that are set up on a table for each of our people being baptized today with a pad of paper and pens. We would love you to stop by and leave them an encouraging message, maybe write them a special note or even just a scripture verse to encourage them as they continue in their journey with the Lord. It has been a pleasure to worship with you today. And we've gotten to experience the work that God is doing in many people's hearts and lives, and I know that He continues to work in ours. So as you go from here today, go, allow God to change and to transform your heart every single day, and allow Him to use you in the lives of others. God bless you, church family. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.